Hello and welcome to Afternoonified,
the podcast where no matter who wins, we still believe in you. I'm Sarah.
And I'm Emily. We specifically believe in the Nightcrawlers, not like you.
What a lovely sentiment to open the episode on.
I do believe in you. God, I have been...
We believe in all of you.
I have been in cryptid like hell. Santa.
Welcome to my life.
Hello, sports fans.
I can't think of a more sports-loving population of people than our podcast listening audience.
Are you sad because bracket season is over? Or maybe you just love brackets and hate basketball? I have good news for you. Okay. So I don't know if I'm gonna tell the story. I was originally gonna do a B-list cryptid episode, but I don't know if you guys know this. Cryptids aren't real. So there was a stunning lack of information on the subject, and I was having trouble. So then I was
that sounds about right.
God, it was like what, 10:30 at night? I'm too stoned to do anything. We're watching Unbreakable, and I just like spring out of my chair like cryptid bracket.
Did you not consult our number one source, cryptidwiki.com?
Of course I did. It's just that they also didn't have a lot. The way this is going to work, it's like a regular tournament. I have selected 8 lesser known cryptids that will be competing for a spot in the A-list tier, that includes Bigfoot, Mothman, and the Jersey Devil.
Oh, I didn't know the stakes. I thought we were just picking the coolest one. I didn't know we were like officially elevating a cryptid to A-level status.
Well, you know, you got to give the people something.
We are the arbiters of this, too. So, I mean.
Yes. I picked 8 because it seemed like a reasonable number. I could have done, what's the next, 10? But it's too much. So the first 4.
There are only so many hours in the day.
It's true.
To research cryptids.
The first 4 matchups will be based on categories that I have chosen. And then we'll move on to the semifinals and then best in show.
I'm very psyched for this. I've been looking forward to this all day.
Yeah, it's I guess because there are categories, it's like somewhere between a dog show and a tournament. So.
Yeah.
So with each matchup, we're going to learn a little bit about each contender. And if there's time at the end, I'll info dump the rest of the stuff I have on the losers because I spent a lot of time on this. Before we get started, my sources. I had a lot of different sources, if I'm being totally honest. Like, I had to piecemeal some of this stuff together, but Cryptid Wiki is a godsend.
I love Cryptid Wiki. What a treasure.
Get ready for a list. AllThisInteresting.com, History.com, History.com, the National Wildlife Foundation.
Not expecting that one in this list.
No. Wikipedia, Cryptid Wiki, Atlas Obscura,
of course.
And a bunch of local news articles.
Thank you, Internet.
Yep. All right, let's get into it.
Let's do it.
Okay, so in our Western Conference, we have the Emily's Choice category. With the Fresno Nightcrawlers and Sam the Sandown Clown.
Yay.
We move on to the Extraterrestrials, featuring the Flatwood Monster and the Hopkinsville Goblins. And then moving on over to the East, in our From the Swamp category, is the Loveland Frogman and the Lizardman of Scape or Swamp. And finally, we have Weremen, with the Rougarou and the Beast of Bray Road, a real South versus Midwest matchup.
Oh, it's going to be tough.
So, yeah, we'll run through. I have more information on some than others. Do you want to start West or East?
Start West.
All right. So we're going to start with the Emily's Choice category, or no. And the order of my notes says that we're actually starting with Extraterrestrials.
That works, too.
Which, the... I guess the criteria were they just had to reasonably be from space.
I mean, all of them could be from space for all we know.
This is true. These also feature a large number of simultaneous witnesses.
Mm.
So our
definitely means they're true stories.
Shut up. Sarah's not going to be a crabby little crab about these being real until we get to the end.
I love 7 of these cryptids.
So we're starting out with the Flatwoods Monster. She's beauty. She's grace. She looks like a giant labia with a metal dress and a face. All right. Let's get into her story. So at 7:15 p.m. on September 12, 1952, in the town of Flatwoods, West Virginia, two brothers named Edward and Fred May and their friend Tommy Heyer said that they saw a bright object cross the sky and land on the property of a local farmer. The boys went and told Kathleen May, who I don't know if was like their mother or their aunt or unrelated. Anyway, they told Kathleen.
Just some lady.
Some lady with the same last name. About what they saw, and the group set out to investigate along with children Neil Nunnally, Ronnie Shaver, and a West Virginia National Guardsman named Eugene Lemon.
What a ragtag group. I love it.
50s ass names. Like, I would watch the crap out of this movie. Are you kidding me?
Oh, 100%.
Like, two teenagers, like a hot lady and a hot National Guardsman, and then like two sassy kids. It's perfect.
Oh, yeah. And of course, the adults are going to fall in love at the end.
Oh, obviously. Although I do picture Eugene Lemon being played by, like, Eugene Levy.
I thought he's... Oh, he is... Eugene Levy is hot. Don't get me wrong.
He was back in
the... But, like, well, when you said hot National Guardsman, I definitely was not picturing Eugene Levy.
No. I mean, I want it to be hot, but my brain has already decided who is playing him. Oh,
well. The heart wants what the heart wants.
Kathleen Turner and Eugene Levy. All right. Anyways, so they arrived at the farm... in an effort to locate whatever it was that the boys had seen, and they climbed to the top of a hill where Nunnally said that he saw a pulsing red light. Lemon said that he aimed a flashlight in that direction and momentarily saw a tall, quote, man-like figure with a round red face surrounded by a pointed hood-like shape.
Hmm. Interesting.
The entity was initially reported as being about 10 feet tall and 4 feet wide and had the appearance of wearing a metal suit as opposed to being an organic creature. Its, quote, body was a metallic armored structure lined with thick vertical pipes. Discrepancies exist in the actual color of the armor, some claiming it to be black while others say it was green. The existence of arms is a similar matter. Most state that the monster was armless, while others claim it possessed small toy-like arms, kind of like a T-Rex.
Boy, both of those options are bad.
Around its round red head was kind of a cowl shaped like an ace of spades. Set in the head were two eyes described as, quote, portholes, glowing green-orange, and they were the size of half dollars. According to the story, the figure made a hissing sound and, quote, glided toward the group. Lemon screamed, dropped his flashlight, caused the group to run away. Groups said they had smelled a, quote, pungent mist, and a few of them claim to have felt nauseous after their encounter. The local sheriff and a deputy had been investigating reports of a crashed aircraft in the area and searched the farm, but saw, heard, and smelled nothing. However, the next day, A. Lee Stewart Jr. of the Braxton Democrat claimed to have discovered skid marks in the field and an odd gummy deposit.
Ooh, gummy.
I know.
I hate it.
So that is the Flatwoods Monster. She is up against the Hopkinsville Goblins, which I think I've talked about before, but I guess a little refresher. On the evening of August 21st, 1955, did these take place in the same year? No, Flatwoods Monster was 3 years earlier. Okay. No.
It was the 50s, though. I mean, what a decade for weird alien weird cryptids.
So on the evening of August 21st, 1955, five adults and seven children arrived at the Hopkinsville, Kentucky police station claiming that small alien creatures from a spaceship were attacking their farmhouse and that they had been fending them off with their various guns for nearly 4 hours.
Yeah, that sounds like Kentucky.
Two of the adults, Elmer Sutton and Billy Ray Taylor, claimed they had been shooting at several short figures who repeatedly popped up at the doorway or peered into the windows. Concerned about all the shooting, four police officers, five state troopers, three deputy sheriffs, and four military police officers from the nearby United States Army Fort Campbell. I don't know why that sentence was so hard. Drove to the Sutton farmhouse, located near the town of Kelly in Christian County. Kentucky is great. They found nothing at the farm site aside from a number of bullet holes, and they also couldn't find any proof of drinking. According to the Sutton family matriarch, liquor was not allowed in the farmhouse. According to accounts given to the police, at about 7 p.m. that night, Sutton family friend Billy Ray Taylor was in the backyard when he saw a silvery object, quote, real bright with an exhaust all the colors of the rainbow. As he later recounted, it came silently toward the house, passed over it, stopped in the air, and then dropped straight to the ground, which is hilarious when you picture it. 21-year-old Billy Ray and his 18-year-old wife had come from Pennsylvania to visit Lucky Sutton, with whom he had worked on a traveling carnival. The Suttons, 50-year-old widow Glennie Lankford, her two older sons and their wives, a brother-in-law, and the widow's three young children, aged 12, 10, and 7, did not take Billy Ray seriously. An hour later, the Suttons' dog began barking, and thus Lucky and Billy Ray went to the back door to investigate. They saw a strange glow in the backyard, in the midst of which they spied a small humanoid creature, about 3.5 feet tall. It had a quote, I'm not going to do this in a Southern accent because I actually don't know if this quote is from one of the guys or a newspaper. Oversized head, almost perfectly round, its arms extended almost to the ground. Its hands had talons and its oversized eyes glowed with a yellowish light. The body allegedly shimmered in the moonlight, they said, as if made of silver metal. Estimates of the size of the beings varied from 2 to 4 feet. Glennie Lankford described the creatures as such. And I am going to do the accent for this one.
Great.
It looked like a 5-gallon gasoline can with a head on top and small legs. It was a shimmering bright metal like on my refrigerator.
God bless this man.
A woman.
Ah.
It's a 40-year-old woman.
I missed the name.
The men grabbed a shotgun and a rifle and fired at the little man, its hands now raised as if held up at gunpoint, as it came toward the back door. They reported that it...
Why is your first instinct to shoot at it? What has it done to you?
1955 in rural Kentucky. They reported that it then did a flip, scrambled upright, and fled into the darkness. Shortly after, the men saw a similar creature appear in a side window and fired through the window screen. Still impervious to the bullets, the little man again flipped and disappeared.
Why hasn't anyone made like a horror comedy about this? That'd be great.
Both of these stories so far, just movie worthy. The drama escalated when Taylor stepped outside under a small overhanging roof and behind him saw a claw-like hand reach down and touch his hair. The group screamed and pulled Taylor back while Lucky shot above the overhang and then at another similar creature in a nearby tree. It floated to the ground, then scurried into the woods. The Suttons moved inside and spent several hours listening for movements, hearing mostly occasional scratches on the roof. At 11 p.m., the whole group ran for the cars and hightailed it to the Hopkinsville police station. Once the police and others left after their brief investigation, the creatures returned between 2:30 a.m. and daybreak. Mrs. Lankford said that she saw one glowing repeatedly by her bedside window, its claw-like hand on the screen.
Ooh,
all right, so that is... both of our alien matchups, we have the Flatwoods Monster and the Hopkinsville Goblins.
This one's really hard because one of them is an owl and the other one is a lot of owls. I do like owls, but I think I got to give the edge to the Flatwoods Monster because she is just so fucking weird.
She's beautiful.
I love it.
It's like if Georgia O'Keeffe made a cryptid. Are you going Flatwoods?
Oh, yeah, Flatwoods.
All right. That is our extraterrestrials category.
Extraterrestrial. You can do the Southern accent better than me.
Them alien things. No, that was horrible. My apologies to the South. Sounded like Forrest Gump. All right. So that's Flatwoods winning for the extraterrestrials. I don't know. This isn't a real bracket. Do you want to do the other Western one? You want to go over to the East?
Us keep going with West.
All right, moving on to the Emily's Choice category. We are starting with the Fresno Night Crawlers. These
motherfuckers,
these little freaks have haunted me since I saw that episode of Paranormal Files Fact or Faked on them like 12 years ago, maybe longer. Yeah.
I was thinking like 12 seems no 12 is probably about right. That would put like 2012. Yeah, probably.
Yeah, at first they're like creepy and unsettling, and then they're creepy and funny, and then you feel like you're wrong to be creeped out because every article has described them as a pair of pants.
Just a sentient pair of pants walking around.
Yeah.
Suburban California.
Well, like the way that they move in the video just brings to mind the like do 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 like that.
It's like, you know, they're making that sound as they walk.
Of course.
Like maybe the video camera didn't catch it, but you know, it's there.
You've seen my crocheted night crawler, right?
Yes. Very darling.
I love him.
See, I think they're cute.
Yeah.
Probably because I've been influenced by like all the art of them, but.
Yeah. They're so stupid that I love them. All right. There's actually not a ton of information on them. So the first sighting of the Fresno Nightcrawler was in Fresno, California, by a man named Jose. And I believe this was in 2011. For some reason, I don't have the year. Yeah, it was like 2011 in Fresno, California, by a man named Jose. He had a surveillance camera watching his front lawn because his dogs had been keeping him up barking and he wanted to know what they were barking at. So he heard a dog barking on the evening in question and looked at the camera, and he observed the Nightcrawlers on his front lawn through the security cameras. They were just walking across the lawn. He woke up his brother to
chilling.
They looked like they were cutting through the yard.
Yeah, like they're busy. They're on their way somewhere important. Got places to be.
Yes, at night. So yeah, he woke up his brother. They rewatched the footage. Afterwards, his brother claimed to have seen small footprints outside, but by the time investigators made it to the site, all the evidence was washed away. After the initial sighting, the original CCTV footage was lost. The only remaining footage is a grainy video recorded from the monitor.
Yeah, I'm watching it right now. I had to like pull it up.
The Nightcrawlers appeared to be relatively short creatures, about 4.5 feet, with most of their height being made up of their legs, as they possess an extremely small upper body.
They're mostly legs. They're like legs with a head.
Yeah, I don't know if you remember that Family Guy cutaway gag with legs go all the way up Griffin. It's that.
No, but okay.
Maybe it'll help someone else. It's hard to find details in the upper body of the cryptid due to the poor quality of the footage. It is extremely thin and white with no discernible arms. They appear to maybe have webbing connected from each knee to the torso. And they also have very short, thin, stilt-like feet. It's very hard to describe them. It does literally look like a pair of flowy white pants.
Yeah. And also, like, the video is bad.
It's bad.
2011 security camera video. So, like, there's no detail whatsoever.
You're going to want to hop on over to Cryptid Wiki and scroll down to the media section, because you're going to want to see the stuff I'm about to talk about. The Nightcrawlers have also been spotted in Yosemite, where footage was again taken from what appears to be a security camera. This time there are two crawlers, one being very small, about 1.5 feet, and the other one being regular size, so about 4.5 feet. The feet of the creatures can be seen in this video, as well as what appears to be like the webbing that I talked about that connect the knees to the upper body, at least on the larger one. The smaller one is too small. You have that video? It's the one that
for me.
Oh, it's the one that creeped me out the most. Honestly, I hadn't seen it.
The Yosemite one?
Yeah.
Okay, I've got it now.
It doesn't hold up to scrutiny as much as the first one does.
I would say, I don't like the way it moves.
Yes.
But also, like, it doesn't have that same kind of flowy. They just, like, whoever did this video definitely didn't capture the original movement. They're going too slow. But, like, I don't like it.
Yeah. The Nightcrawlers have also been captured in Portland. Poland. I'd be moving if... So in Poland, this time with what appears to be a handheld camera, so it's really shaky. It can be seen for not too long, but it appears to look like the larger one in Yosemite. There was also a sighting captured in Billings, Montana, on a home surveillance system in 2020.
They are weird little freaks.
And those are the Fresno Nightcrawlers. Leading us to our next competitor in the Emily's Choice category, the imitable Sam the Sandown Clown. Talk about a weird little freak.
I was going to say, is this really Emily's Choice, or is this just the weird little freaks category?
Those are Emily's Choice. I love weird little freaks. I'm also not saying this section is rigged, but I think I know how this is going to go down. He's just so weird. We did a whole mini on this guy. It's called Hello and I Am All Colors Mothman. So if you want to, like... listen to that.
If you really want the skinny, you want the deep dive. Sam the Sandown Clown.
We got in deep. All right. So the Sandown Clown was a strange being encountered by two young children vacationing at Lake Common, Sandown, Isle of Wight, in the UK. In May of 1973, following a sound like an ambulance siren, two children, Faye and her unnamed friend, who were exploring the area, wandered across a footbridge over a stream to see what was causing the noise. And they found Sam, who has been described as a cross between a clown, a robot, and an alien.
Three things kids love.
I mean, this was back in the 70s. We didn't know to be afraid of clowns yet. The clown had more or less normal human proportions, like two arms, two legs, and a round head. But that's about where he stopped looking like a normal dude. The head was described as being too large for the body and perfectly round. The face appeared to have been painted onto the surface of its head, two blue triangles for eyes, a flat brown rectangle for a nose, and the mouth had thin yellow lips shaped like an oval, which did not move at all when it spoke or ate.
That might be the detail I hate the most. Yellow lips? Bad color for lips. Not a fan.
Its hair hung down beneath its cone-shaped hat in sparse, frizzled, reddish-brown strands, and two wooden antennae stuck out from the sides of its head, while more wooden slat-like antennae extended from its wrists and ankles. Its skin was very, very white and had consistency of paper, while its hands and feet possessed only three digits, which I noticed is a common thing with cryptids, only having three toes.
Yeah, I wonder what that is. Is it just like a standard weird number? They're like, well, four isn't that weird, so let's go down to three.
Maybe. It seemed to be wearing some type of clown costume, which is why I keep calling it a clown, which consisted of a tall pointed hat with a black knob on top and a high collared suit that was red and green. It wore dark blue gloves, but its feet were bare. The suit's trousers and sleeves were long and frilly. Whether the wooden antenna were part of the costume or not is unclear. It was also carrying a microphone, kind of like the microphone from Toy Story. Yeah.
That's exactly what I picture, yeah.
Through which it spoke, and it is believed to have been the source of the ambulance-like siren that the children heard. The children engaged in conversation with the creature and eventually visited his home. It lived in a two-story hut in a wooded area close to the lake, and the walls were papered with blue-green dial patterns, and the floors were metallic. The hut also contained rough wooden furniture and was described as being similar to a table and a set of chairs.
I love how just, like, obviously pre-Stranger Danger the story is.
Oh, yeah. The clown seemed shy but friendly. It told the children it was frightened of humans and it would not defend itself if it was attacked. It claimed to drink water from the stream after cleaning it and gathered wild berries, which it ate by thrusting its head forward and somehow moving the berries back and forth between its eyes and then down into its mouth. I know.
I don't remember these details from when we did the mini. Did I, like, block this all out?
Maybe. It could write in English using a pencil and paper, and upon being asked what his name was, he wrote the words, "Hello, and I am all color Sam," out of order, and pointed to the words in the correct order as Faye, the little girl, read them out. When asked if it was a human, it said it was not, and when asked if it was a ghost, it is reported to have answered, "Well, not really, but I am," in an odd sort of way.
It's a vague answer, Sam.
All other questions about what it might be were answered with, "You know." And just a full warning, that's all I wrote about Sam because I think I know who's going to win this category.
You know, weirdly, no, like the Fresno Nightcrawlers are definitely going to win it because they're just so weird. But I got to say, like, I don't know what it is. The story seems so much more endearing this time.
He is cute. This is what I've been trying to tell you.
He's just a weird little freak. I don't know, like, what brought on this change of heart. It's very odd, but, like, kind of like him. He's just kind of weirdo.
Speaking of weird little freaks that I love, there's a reason Jeff didn't make the cut, and that's because I didn't want to make Jeff compete.
That's fair. Jeff, how can you compete against Jeff? Jeff would have taken it all. So, yes, I will say, I think the Fresno Nightcrawlers are going to win this one. But you know what? Props to Sam, the Sandown Clown.
Really making a comeback.
You know, maybe in my old age, I'm just becoming a big softy. I don't know.
Giving weird little freaks a chance.
Yeah.
Well, good news. We're moving over to the Eastern Conference. Our first matchup is from the swamp. Let's learn about the Loveland Frogman. Well, refresh about the Loveland Frogman because you definitely covered him.
I think in like the local legends episode.
Yes.
I don't remember what number that was or when we did it. It was a while back, but you know, who doesn't want to hear about the Loveland Frogman?
I love him. What was the name of that? I don't know if I
I I think it was just called It's the Frogland Love.
No, it was like Hot Loveland Damn, It's the Frog, the Loveland Frogman or something.
Let me look this up. Yep, it's Hot Damn, It's the Loveland Frog.
I'd give anything to see that play.
Oh my God, they need to bring it on tour.
They can open for like Last Podcast on the Left or something.
Yeah, please.
So one early morning in May of 1955, you'll notice a consistency with some of the times, like the years on these.
It's kind of like we were all just really bored with nothing else to do.
Well, let's see. In May of 1955, that is also, oh no.
Yeah, that's the same year as Hopkinsville, wasn't it?
It was the same year as Hopkinsville. So, one early morning in May of 1955 on a lonely stretch of road that runs along the Miami River in Claremont County, Ohio, just on the outskirts of a small town known as Loveland, a businessman named Robert Honeycutt, which was in parentheses in the article I was reading, so it makes me wonder if that's not a pseudonym.
Maybe an alias of some sort.
He claimed to have witnessed three bipedal, quasi-reptilian entities by the side of the road. The man pulled his car over and observed these creatures for what he described as about 3 minutes. He said the beings were between 3 and 4 feet tall, covered with gray, leathery skin, with webbed hands and feet. Their most distinguishing characteristic was their frog-like heads, which the man claimed bore deep wrinkles where their hair should have been. Just
frogs with brain heads.
I love this paragraph so much. Just as he was about to leave, one of the creatures suddenly held what the witness described as a wand over its head. He further claimed that sparks spewed out of the end of this device, and that was his cue to leave.
And that man was J.K. Rowling.
Just the frog with a... because... I have a very specific image in my head, and I know it's not what he saw.
I am 100% picturing the frog from Over the Garden Wall. That's all I can see.
I'll show you what I picture, because it's similar, actually. It's very similar.
Yeah.
It's the frog wizard from Adventure Time.
Yeah, it's definitely that vibe.
So... the wand incident was somehow the least interesting encounter with the frogmen. On March 3rd, 1972, at 1 a.m., Loveland police officer Ray Shockey was driving on Riverside Drive near the river when an unidentified animal scurried across the road in front of his vehicle. The animal was fully illuminated in the headlights, and he was able to describe it as 3 to 4 feet long and about 50 to 75 pounds. With leathery skin. In the span of seconds, this creature stood on two legs, stared at the policeman, and then scrambled over the guardrail and down the embankment, finally disappearing into the river. The second sighting occurred 2 weeks later while a police officer, Mark Matthews, was driving into Loveland and spotted what he believed to be an injured animal lying on the pavement. Matthews climbed out of his cruiser with the intention of removing the body from the ice-slicked road when the creature abruptly lurched upwards into a crouched position.
I feel like the frogman was definitely just like fucking waiting. Yeah. Just like for someone to come along just to, you know, fuck people. Yeah.
Shocked by this apparent giant frog, Matthews unholstered his revolver and took a shot at the creature, which then proceeded to hobble over to the side of the road and step over the guardrail, as it did the last time.
Of course, his first reaction is to shoot at it.
Matthews' frogman matched the first officer's description down to the last detail, with the exception of a tail, which was absent in earlier reports. Maybe yeah, this one was a tadpole. Don't have
tails. Maybe.
Anyway, that's the Loveland Frogman, star of the hit musical Hot Damn, It's the Loveland Frog.
Star of my heart.
I even want just like a t-shirt from the show. All right, so our next contender for From the Swamp is the Lizard Man of Scape or Swamp. And actually, the Frogman wasn't really from the swamp, but for the sake of the category and it not being...
swampy-like creature?
Yeah, water creatures.
I do gotta say, like, Scape or Swamp is such a great name. I think that's, like, half the reason why I like this one so much.
It sounds like a Nancy Drew book.
It does.
Like, the lizard man of Scape or Swamp. Like, Nancy's not going to be checking that out.
Oh, yeah. She's 100% there.
So, at the beginning of July in 1988, 17-year-old Bishopville, South Carolina local Christopher Davis was driving home from work when his car got a flat tire. At night. This is at night, incidentally. After fixing it, he saw a creature walking towards him. Davis got in his car and began to drive away, but the creature was soon on top of the car. He hit the brakes, causing the creature to roll off and giving him enough time to escape. On July 14th, 1988, the Lee County Sheriff's Office investigated a report of a car damaged overnight while parked at a home in an area of Browntown outside of Bishopville, South Carolina. South Carolina is a cursed place.
Truly.
Which sat on the edge of the Scape or Swamp. The car reportedly had tooth marks and scratches with hair and muddy footprints left behind. Prompted by the news of the vehicle damage, Davis came forward and reported to the sheriff that his car was damaged by a creature he described as green, wet-like, about 7 feet tall, with 3 fingers, red eyes, skin like a lizard, and snake-like scales. On August 5th of that year, Kenneth Orr, an airman stationed at Shaw Air Force Base, I just realized that South Carolina, probably this area is where my brother-in-law is stationed.
You'll have to ask him if he's seen the lizard man.
Yeah, definitely. Anyway, so Kenny over here filed a police report alleging that he had encountered the lizard man on Highway 15 and that he had shot and wounded it. Stop shooting cryptids.
This is such an American thing. I bet the British don't shoot their cryptids.
Yeah, no one tried to shoot fucking Sam. He presented several scales and a small quantity of blood as evidence. Orr recanted his account 2 days later when he was arraigned for unlawfully carrying a pistol and the misdemeanor offense of filing a false police report. Reports of the lizard man gradually declined at the end of the summer. Local law enforcement officials speculated that the sightings were likely to have been a bear.
Maybe like a mangy bear. I could see it.
Yeah. Coverage by newspapers and media resulted in increased attention for the town. Local businesses began selling lizard man lizard man t-shirts, and the local chamber of commerce encouraged the media attention as good for the community. Local radio station WCOS offered a $1 million reward for anyone who could capture the creature alive.
I bet they never had to pay that out.
Y'all really need to see Late Night with the Devil. So that is the Lizard Man of Scape or Swamp, the second in our From the Swamp category. He is up against the Loveland Frog Man. So which one of these handsome gentlemen is going to take home the, well, not the gold, but whatever you would call it, the win?
The win. Mm-hmm. I can't say no to the Loveland Frog Man. He has a musical written about him.
It's all right. So hot damn, it's Loveland Frog.
he's so delightful. That's just, it's a big frog. How can you go wrong?
It's true. He also seems like at least ambivalent, like neutral.
Yeah, he's just kind of like out there living his best life.
And the lizard man is out here like wrecking cars and shit.
Yeah, and the Loveland Frogman is just fucking with cops.
Which, please, like, that's what cryptids should be doing, wasting cops' time. Remember how many people trekked out to go see the goblins?
Yeah.
It's like 8 people. I don't think they had much else to do. All right. So moving on to our final of our initial categories, which is wolf men, which is, in my opinion, the sexiest of the categories.
Werewolves. I mean, have you seen Taylor Lautner?
That's the werewolf you're going with?
That's the first one that came to mind.
That's the werewolf you're going with.
Yes.
There's the True Blood guy.
I never saw True Blood. Of course, there's a werewolf. Which one is a werewolf in True Blood?
The big guy that was in Magic Mike. He was married to Sofia Vergara.
Oh, yeah. I know who you're talking about. I can't remember his name.
That guy. I know who you're talking
about. He is admittedly much better looking than Taylor Lautner. I just didn't know his name and didn't know he played a werewolf.
We still don't know his name. Sadie is screaming right now listening to this.
Don't look it up. I don't want to know. Sadie will tell us in a week.
No, I gotta, because it's going to hurt her.
Okay, you can look it up, but don't tell me. I don't want to know.
Oh, I just remembered what it is. Okay. So speaking of Cajun werewolves, the first competitor is the Rougarou.
That's such a great name.
Sounds better in a Cajun accent, which I am not qualified to do.
No, you it's just embarrass yourself.
One of my favorite accents, and I can't just fuck with it like that. It's why you'll never catch me doing a Scottish accent. All right, so these guys have a very rich cultural history, not only in the United States, but also in Canada and France. It's also the name of a just righteous gator meat hot dog at Dat Dog in New Orleans. So if you're ever there, get the Rougarou. It's a chicken and gator sausage with like caramelized onions, Cajun mustard. So good. Sorry, the onions, I know.
Yeah, if it didn't have the onions, the rest of it sounds great.
Dat Dog is a phenomenal restaurant. It's all hot dogs. Anyways, so they might technically be considered more of a mythical creature, but I like to think of them as the French Bigfoot. Le Bigfoot, if you will.
Le Bigfoot, yes.
I don't know how to say foot in French, or that might have been a funnier joke. So the Rougarou is a monster from Cajun folklore that dates back a while. The first recorded use of the name Rougarou dates back to the early 19th century from a French poem titled Le Loup Garou, which is L-O-U-P hyphen G-A-R-O-U, by a man named Joseph Bouchette, a Canadian surveyor and mapmaker who traveled extensively through North America. The stories were most likely inspired by European stories of werewolves that the Cajun people brought with them as they migrated to Louisiana. Once the Rougarou settled into the swamps, it took on some aspects of local Native American cryptids, such as the legendary Choctaw shape-shifting owl witch.
Oh, put yeah, a pin pretty, in that. I want to hear more about the owl witch.
I don't have more information, but, you know, Google.
A future episode for sure.
Yeah. In fact, instead of wolfish features, most Cajuns will describe the Rougarou as resembling a dog or an owl.
Interesting. Those are two things that don't look alike.
Yeah,
well, is it supposed to look like both of them at once, or just like there are different descriptions of it?
It's generally described as being like big and muscular. There we go. Fur the color of charcoal or black. Its eyes are said to glow in the dark and has long, sharp teeth and claws. Some stories describe the Rougarou as having a human-like face with a snout, while others depict it with the head of a wolf or a dog. How a person transforms into the monster isn't entirely clear, nor is it clear if the Rougarou only prowls during a full moon like a werewolf. They sometimes just be out there. In the Cajun legends, the creature is said to prowl the swamps around Acadian and Greater Acadiana. Jesus. And Greater New Orleans, and the sugar cane fields and woodlands around the region.
So atmospheric.
I know. A little swamp, like full moon. It's great. The cricket sounds. Didn't actually hear a lot of, I guess I wasn't out on the swamp at night. Well, often the storytelling has been used to persuade Cajun children to behave. Although according to another variation, the Rougarou will hunt down and kill Catholics who do not follow the rules of Lent.
Oh no. Oh boy.
This coincides with the French Catholic Lougarou stories, which, according to those, the method for turning into a werewolf is to break Lent 7 years in a row. So good news, we're both werewolves.
We're werewolves now.
Sightings of the Rougarou have been reported throughout Louisiana for centuries. Many of these sightings are dismissed as hoaxes, misidentifications of other animals, but it is taken seriously by some locals who do believe in the legend of the Rougarou. So that is our first wolfman, the Rougarou of New Orleans. Well, Louisiana.
Very cool.
It's like a sexy werewolf, like a sexy Catholic eaten.
He's definitely got the true blood thing going, and he eats Catholics, but only the bad ones.
Again, a movie, just like a wolfman chasing a priest through a swamp. It's the secret to a hillbilly vampire hunter.
Werewolf, hunter, priest.
Oh my god. Maybe if it was a nun. No, we have vampire hunting nuns. That was...
Nope, the nuns are hunting the vampires, so the priest has got to take care of the werewolf.
Ooh, who's playing the priest?
It's the sequel to the Casca Girls movie that we're going to do.
Yes, which is in the same universe as Hillbilly Vampire Hunter. The Hillbilly and the nun team up in the sequel.
Turns out they're dating.
Oh, damn. That's cute. Who's playing the priest, though? Like
Ewan McGregor.
There we go. There it is.
Go ahead and make that movie poster.
Ooh, who's the nun? So I'm just going to do the trilogy. I think I'm just... I'm picturing Regina King, but I think that's just because of Watchmen.
Ooh,
but
maybe.
That does mean that there is, you know, her in a nun costume makes it easier for me. Kathy and the Jimmy. Done. Okay, so that was the Rougarou. Now we're moving on to the Beast of Bray Road, who we have or have not covered?
We have. We did that in Local Legends as well.
Okay.
So you can go back to that episode if you want the, you know, the whole spiel.
The whole rundown. All right, so batting for the Midwest in the showdown of regional wolf dudes, we have the Beast of Bray Road. Who was first sighted in 1936 when Mark Shackleman, a night watchman for St. Coletta School for Exceptional Children, which you may recognize the name as where Rosemary Kennedy was sent after she was lobotomized. But that was like 40 years later or whatever, so it's fine. Anyway, so he was crossing the fields near Bray Road in Elkhorn, Wisconsin, when he saw what he described as a hairy humanoid creature standing between 6 and 7 feet tall, resembling a wolf or a bear. It's
very tall.
The watchman said that he caught the strong scent of rotting flesh as he approached the creature.
Are we supposed to mean that, like, he was eating recently?
Well, at around midnight, when he was approaching the creature, he saw that it was perched atop a, quote, Native American burial mound. Mm. He said it appeared wolf-like, yet standing upright, and appeared to be clawing at the ground. Shackleman approached the creature more to get a better look, but it fled. The following morning, Shackleman told his wife about the creature, describing that its thumbs and little fingers appeared, quote, shriveled and notably shorter than the others on its hands. During the daylight hours, Shackleman returned to the mound and discovered, quote, raking marks in the dirt.
That's such a weirdly specific detail about the hands, the little shrinking fingers.
It freaks me out on the same level as Jeff the Mongoose having human hands.
Yeah, no thank you.
After dusk passed, Shalkabid returned to the mound and once again saw the creature. This time, however, it did not flee. It stood and faced Shalkabid, who later estimated it to be nearly 7 feet tall. He said the creature was, quote, covered in dark or black hair, gave off a bad odor like long dead meat, eyes that looked right into him, made a sound. It was a three-syllable growl, low and mean, something like gadara, with the accent on the second syllable.
Interesting.
In the 1980s, several witnesses reported the beast had made contact with their vehicles, leaving large scratch marks on the doors and trunks. One witness says she hit something while crossing Bray Road. Upon exiting her vehicle to determine what it was, supposedly a large wolf-like creature with red eyes chased her back into her car and left claw marks on the rear passenger door. Sightings have also been reported during daylight hours, with several people stating they saw an unusually large wolf-like creature running around on all fours through cornfields. One stated that it was chasing a deer. Sources vary on whether it walks on all fours or on two legs, and to further muddy the water, some reports describe it as more closely resembling a werewolf or Bigfoot.
Oh, yeah. I've definitely heard, like, the Beast of Bray Road is actually a Bigfoot theory.
Animal mutilations have also been reported in the area, with animal remains, including deer and livestock, partially eaten with specific organs removed. Another witness reported driving down Bray Road late one night and observed an unusually large wolf-like creature eating roadkill. The creature ran back into the woods as the car approached. In February of 2018 and July of 2020, witnesses reported observing a large hair-covered upright creature in Spring Prairie and Lyons, which are both in the same county as Elkhorn. And that is the Beast of Bray Road.
A classic.
So that puts the beast up against the Rougarou for title of Best Wolfman.
You know, my Midwest loyalty makes me want to pick the Beast of Bray Road, but the Rougarou just has, like, a much cooler, like, aesthetic.
A richer history.
Yeah. Just, he's got, like, a cool vibe. I can't not pick the Rougarou.
All right. What a matchup.
A true upset.
All right. So that leaves us with, in the Western Conference, the Flatwoods Monster versus the Fresno Nightcrawlers.
No. Now it's going to get really hard.
And the Loveland Frogman versus the Rougarou.
Emily, why are you doing this to me?
Let's get to the Flatwoods Monster versus the Fresno Nightcrawlers. Little bonus info about the Flatwoods Monster. The day after the September 12th sighting, another sighting occurred near the aptly named Strange Creek, about 20 miles south of Flatwoods.
That's so on the nose. I love it.
George and Edith Snitowski and their toddler son were driving through the area between Clay and Braxton County when their car suddenly died. While the Snitowskis were trying to decide what to do, a terrible sulfur smell filled the air. A bright light filled the darkness, and the couple witnessed a 10-foot-tall creature hovering in front of their car. I don't know why I'm reading it in this tone of voice. The description was similar to that of the original Flatwoods monster sighting, except that the monster was not wearing its presumed spade-shaped hood.
But that's so iconic.
I know. Instead, its head was reportedly reptilian and bony.
Ugh.
The creature, I imagine, like a velociraptor. The creature dragged long lizard-like claws across the hood of the car before drifting away into the woods. As soon as the monster was out of sight, the car restarted and the couple sped away.
Terrifying. While we're casting the movie version of all of these, the Flatwoods monster would be played by Lady Gaga.
Probably has the outfit already. All right. And the Flatwoods monster is up against these weird little fuckers, the Fresno Nightcrawlers. On December 12, 2014, a 60-year-old former Marine near Carmel, Ohio, said that he was driving home, and after turning on Carmel Road, we went around the curve by the Carmel Church and then up a small incline, and approximately 10 feet over the incline in front of our truck, an alien ran across the road into the woods. The witness described the creature as a 7-foot-tall, slim, gray creature with muscular legs that walked like its knees were backwards. He also said it didn't have arms.
I don't like that.
This creature is known as the Caramel Creature, but bears a resemblance to our favorite weird little freaks. Flatwoods Monster versus the Fresno Nightcrawlers.
You know, I don't like the backwards knees. That is a detail I don't want to think about.
Maybe the caramel creature was the Fresno Nightcrawlers without pants on.
That's why they wear such flowy pants. They're insecure.
They're hiding their backwards knees.
They're hiding their weird knees. Walking around with their knees out everywhere.
We are cryptid body positive.
But, you know, I support women's rights and I also support women's wrongs. So I think I got to go with the Flatwoods monster again.
Even if she is a reptilian who destroyed a car?
Especially if she's a reptilian who destroyed a car.
All right. Well, for the Western Conference, we have our finalists, the Flatwoods monster. My favorite bitch.
I'm setting this up for a showdown that I'm going to regret.
Yep, because over in the East, we have the Loveland Frogman versus the Rougarou. Danny DeVito versus that guy from True Blood.
What did we guess Danny DeVito?
Just now. Tell me I'm wrong.
You're not.
So for the Loveland Frogman, in the years following his encounter, Officer Matthews has backpedaled on his story a little bit. In a 2001 email interview, Officer Matthews, now retired, explained that the incident was, quote, habitually blown out of proportion. He stated that, quote, it was and is not a monster. It was not leathery or had wet fur. It was not 3 to 5 feet tall. It did not stand erect. The animal I saw was obviously some type of lizard that someone had as a pet that either got too large or escaped by accident. It was less than 3 feet in length, ran across the road, and was probably blinded by my headlights. It presented no aggressive action. Matthews attempted to shoot the creature in order to back up the account of his partner's sighting a few nights prior, but the lizard escaped, most likely to die from the injury. I'm sorry I made that a bummer.
I don't trust the cops anyway. I don't think he's telling the truth.
This wouldn't be the first time a cop lied. All right, and with the Rougarou. Oh, you're going to like this one.
Oh, no.
Another telling of the Rougarou story that says that the Rougarou is under a 101-day curse unless the affected person can transfer the curse to another human being. I guess kind of like It Follows or The Ring.
Oh, I was going to hope you just like had to kiss him or something.
That's It Follows. their curse usually comes from a local witch, sometimes a voodoo priestess. It's also said that you can protect yourself against the Rougarou by laying 13 small objects by your doors. Apparently, when a person changes into a Rougarou, they forget how to count past 12.
So they like get, they have to stop and count, and then they get confused.
The Rougarou will see the 13 objects, try to count them, and be unable to count them at all. This will confuse it, and it will keep recounting until the sun comes up and it must flee. I guess kind of like a vampire as well.
Yeah, they say that that definitely feels like a lot of other lore that we've covered before. I love that. I love when like cultures borrow from each other, or like not necessarily borrow from each other, but like,
yeah,
like, yeah, get the same stuff.
All right. So what's it going to be? The Loveland giant iguana that a cop shot, or a man who can't count past 12.
Oh, I can't believe I'm going to say this. I love the Loveland Frogman so much, so much. But the lore of the Rougarou is so good.
Is it the fact that he eats Catholics for not following
He eats Catholics. He can't count to 13. But it's the Loveland Frogman.
I think
he has a musical written about it.
I think he held his own against the Lizard Man of Skateboard Swamp, though.
Yeah, I think it's got to be the Rougarou. It's so funny that he eats Catholics. I am so sorry, my sweet, sweet boy.
All right, well, that leads us to our final showdown.
Oh, my God.
The Flatwoods Monster versus the Rougarou.
I hate this. Can't believe you're making me choose. It's like trying to choose a favorite child. I'm sure people feel the same way about their children that I do about these cryptids.
So, spoiler alert for the Flatwoods Monster, my least favorite person, Joe Nickel, says that it was probably an owl standing on a bush. I say, fuck him. The quote, reasonable explanation is that the group saw a meteor and then saw an owl.
I'm pretty sure that is what happened.
Officials in Flatwoods erected a welcome sign which designated the town as the, quote, home of the green monster. The town also commemorates the legend in its annual Flatwoods Days festival.
Oh my God. I'm sorry. I had to look up a picture of the sign. That's so good. She's so cool.
And then for the Rougarou, in recent years, there have been several reported sightings of the Rougarou, including one in 2016 in Houma, Louisiana. A video post online shows what appeared to be a large dark figure with glowing eyes walking through a residential neighborhood. There's also the annual Rougarou Festival every year, and the Audubon Zoo in New Orleans has a Rougarou exhibit, which includes a statue of the creature.
Now I gotta look this up too.
Man, you really just painted yourself into a corner.
This is gonna be really hard. Is that what the statue looks like? Emily, have you looked at the statue?
Oh, yeah, no, that's it.
I love it. It's so stupid. I think I'm going to lean Rougarou.
Really?
I love the Flatwoods Monster almost as much as I love the Loveland Frogman. But she doesn't eat Catholics.
We actually don't know that. She is a reptilian. It's like reptilian.
Just because we haven't caught her eating Catholics before.
It's reptilian Lady Gaga. It is Lady Gaga. Oh my God.
And see, and that's what I'll this is so hard. Emily, why why did I let you do this to me? I thought this was such a great idea.
Just wait till we do the hauntings bracket.
The sign of the Flatwoods Monster is really good. The statue of the Rougarou is the stupidest thing I've ever seen, and I love it. It looks, I don't know what, it isn't, it looks like a bad Halloween decoration. Like, I've seen more convincing animatronics in a spirit Halloween.
It does kind of take the sexy factor away from him a little bit.
A little bit. but then I also just found a picture of a drawing of the Rougarou for the Rougarou Fest 2020, and he's wearing overalls and a smoking jacket and a top hat. Okay, we need to consider the stakes here. It's like, which one deserves
to be in the Hall of Fame.
Elevated to an A-list?
Now,
and I think
I have,
if that is, sorry, you go ahead. You say
I have
your
my opinions, but I want it to be impartial for you.
If that's the consideration, I don't think we talk about the Flatwoods Monster enough. I think she is so weird, and the fact that she gets no attention is a crime against humanity.
Oh, well, I think it's also because she's not the only one from West Virginia.
Yeah, she gets very overshadowed by her husband, the Mothman.
It's the same fucking owl.
And I do love owls.
It's like Garth Brooks and Chris Gaines.
I love the southern werewolf who can't count. But he is, at the end of the day, just a werewolf. And like, I feel like we've got werewolves, you know?
Yeah, I guess it would be kind of like how certain animals look different depending on, like, bears look different depending on what part of the country you're in. They're all bears.
Yeah, I feel like he can still fall under, like, the werewolf umbrella. Just, like, the coolest of all the werewolves.
And the werewolf,
I think if we were doing a werewolf bracket, he would definitely win.
Of the different flavors of werewolf.
Yeah.
Actually, we should probably do werewolves on one side, vampires on the other side.
Yep. Okay. I think I know in my heart, I think it's got to be the Flatwoods Monster. I think she is an A-list cryptid, and I think we should shower her with confetti.
Hold on one second.
Now I'm nervous.
From sea to shining sea, like Lady Liberty, she reigns over all she sees. She's beauty and she's grace. She's queen of 50 states. She's elegant and taste. She's Miss United States.
She's beauty and she's grace. She's queen of 50 states. She's elegant and taste. She's Miss United States.
I could imagine the Jersey Devil, like,
handing the crown off.
Yeah. That was intense.
I feel like I'm going to regret so many choices, but no, she deserves it.
She truly is. I had the same thoughts after the Wonders of the World bracket. Yeah. Like, did I make the right decision? But the Flatwoods Monster now joins the hallowed halls of Afternoonified bracket winners with the city of Petra.
Yep.
Because she's pink. let's see.
Do like a lightning round of fun facts.
Yeah, okay. So for the Hopkinsville Goblins in 2006, Joe Nickel, perennial asshole, matched the Taylor's UFO sighting with similar reports of meteor activity in the vicinity. As for the Little Men, Nickel tried to blame owls again.
Everything's an owl.
Everything is an owl with this guy. For the Fresno Nightcrawlers, the cryptid wiki list of explanations is my favorite part of the case.
Oh my gosh.
They're all technically plausible, yet sound weirder and more convoluted than just some little alien guys.
Can you please just read them down? I would love to hear this.
An alien or an extraterrestrial being, a new species, possibly a primate with short arms.
Okay.
A misidentified deer standing upright.
No.
Pants and or a puppet on a wire.
I mean, probably, but...
A bird walking, such as a crane.
Oh.
A person wearing big pants and walking on stilts. So I guess David Byrne just had some free time. Or, and this one's my favorite, a balloon tied to some sort of cloth with two remote-controlled toy cars as the feet.
That someone put a lot of thought into that, and I can respect that.
They may have done it on Paranormal Fact or Faked. Okay, I did not write anything more on Sam the Sandown Clown because I did think he'd make it past the first round.
We did a whole mini on him. There's plenty of Sam content for you if you so desire.
For the Loveland Frogmen, a gem from the possible explanation section of the cryptid wiki.
This
is a direct reading of the paragraph. While there are no known bipedal frogs in nature, it is also possible that these frog species often rest in a position with only their hind legs on the ground, making them look bipedal. It is very unlikely for a frog species to have the intelligence necessary for tool use, but somewhat more likely that the Loveland frogmen are a frog species intelligent enough to collect objects, possibly to create a structure to live in or as a mating display similar to some bird species.
See, trying to give it a reasonable, relatively reasonable, like, not, it's aliens, is somehow worse. Like, that's less believable to me than aliens.
Oh, I forgot something about the Hopkinsville Goblins.
Oh, yeah.
In the days following the incident, after radio stations and newspapers reported on the incident, hundreds of spectators descended on the farm, often to harass the Suttons for being ignorant or fraudulent, or both.
That's a bummer.
I know. When their no trespassing signs proved useless, the family tried charging admission, 50 cents for entering the grounds, $1 for information, $10 for taking pictures. After that, skeptics blasted them as money-seeking hacks.
You just can't win.
Okay. So the Lizard Man of Scape War Swamp. In 2008, a couple in Bishopsville reported damage to their vehicle, including blood traces. The blood traces were found to be from a dog, though the local sheriff suggested it might have been a coyote or a wolf. In 2015, a local TV station featured photos and videos claimed to be the Lizard Man, allegedly taken by a man named Jim Wilson and other unidentified individuals. And then in August of 2017, the South Carolina Emergency Management Division sent out a tweet, quote, regarding possible paranormal activity during the solar eclipse that passed over the area, suggesting that the people of Lee and Sumter counties should remain vigilant for sightings of the Lizard Man.
Lizards do love eclipses, so I get it.
And some interesting facts about the Beast of Bray Road. Mark Shackleman had heard the creature say something like Gadara, which shares an uncanny resemblance to Gadara, a site mentioned in the Bible as the location in ancient Judea where Jesus exorcised a demon-possessed man, quote, coming from the tombs, just as the creature Shackleman saw had been clawing at a burial mound.
Interesting. You know, we didn't consider the possibility that the Beast of Bray Road also eats Catholics.
This is true. Some researchers consider the Beast of Bray Road to be identical to a kind of Wisconsin Bigfoot named the Bluff Monster or the Eddie. Other names that have been applied to the Beast of Bray Road include the Bearwolf and, quote, Indigenous Dogman.
I wish everyone would stop trying to make things a Bigfoot, but fine.
It can't all be Bigfoots. It can't all be owls, guys. Damn. All right. Flatwoods Monster is our winner.
Who did you think was going to get it? I'm just
honestly
curious.
I didn't think the Rougarou was going to make it. I thought you'd have, you know, Midwestern loyalties going on.
I thought I would too, but like, it just, they didn't put enough effort in. I will admit it.
I thought it was going to be the Nightcrawlers or the Frogman. Flatwoods was a close contender.
I definitely thought it was going to be the Frogman. I could not foresee any possibility when I would not choose the Frogman, but here we are.
I mean, the Flatwoods Monster is a legend. She's
iconic. I've heard in other podcasts, like the definition of someone being like an icon is if you can see them in silhouette and you can still recognize them, which I think very much describes the Flatwoods Monster.
This is true. I feel like she's put the work in. Mm-hmm. She wore the outfit. It was really her meat dress moment.
There's just such strong branding there. I love it.
And I know a lot of people say that, you know, it's a male cryptid, but honestly.
No, it's a
she. She looks like the fucking Queen of Hearts.
Yeah, she's great. No man has that sense of style.
I guess send your opinions to afternoonifiedpod@gmail.com or
tell me why I'm wrong and we'll fight.
We'll post the empty bracket on not Twitter, Lord, on Instagram, and you can fill that out should you so choose. That's Instagram at afternoonified. You can also find us on the web at getafternoonified.com, where you can also buy merch. Let us know if you'd like a Flatwoods Monster reigning champion shirt or merch. Avalon, if you're listening, I'll be in touch.
The Flatwoods Monster with a pageant crown in a sash. Avalon, I will pay you whatever you want.
I'm also picturing her with a bouquet of human hands, and I don't really know where that's coming from.
Oh my god.
Anyway, so yeah, you can find merch on our website. You can listen to old episodes. You can donate to our tip jar, should you so choose. Remember to rate, subscribe, review, all of that fun stuff. And we will see you next week for a very spooky mini.
Oh, it's going to be a spooky one.
All right, goodbye.
Bye. We love you.
For more podcasts like the one you just listened to, go to SoBelowMedia.com.
This is as above, so below.